Welcome to Security Wire Weekly, a CertSecurity.com podcast for July 13th, 2012. This edition, Trey Ford on the Black Hat Conference.
We're going to look for a hybrid responsible disclosure conversation and try to bring both parties to the table and do so in a manner that helps them. The other part of this is, we're not privy to all the conversations the researchers had. We're not a part of the interactions between them and the vendor. And if they need a platform that's going to allow them to share their research in a manner that's going to encourage that conversation to move forward in a manner it needs to, Black Hat's certainly a place to do that. So we see both ends of the spectrum.
Ford is serving as general manager of the Black Hat Conference. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Westerveld. Trey Ford is serving as general manager of the Black Hat Conference. He sat down recently with Mike Momoso, the editorial director of the security media group here at CertSecurity.com. Here's what he had to say.
So UVM bought Black Hat 7 years ago. As you know, UVM being a large international company based in London, they've got their own legal team taking care of Black Hat and UVM's greater interests. The researchers have a full-time job, many of them, working for companies that have their own corporate legal counsel. But none of those things puts the researchers' best interests at heart. And that's why we value and invest so heavily in our partnership with the EFF, because they are protecting all things that are core to Black Hat's ethos and protecting the researcher and what they're doing, in bringing that conversation and the focus back to how to make the internet a safer place and solve the problems that we're identifying. And so I don't know that things have gotten any less flashy or less exciting. I just think that this is a function of maturing in the space. I believe that the age of innocence has passed, and I think that the age of accountability is here. And so the ability to say, gosh, we're just going to slap that guy with a cease and desist, we're going to gag order him, doesn't work. The day of needing to drop ODAY to bring a vendor to engage and partner to solve a problem is present. And so I think that's part of what Black Hat has done in this industry, is partnering with both sides of that conversation, bringing them to the table and help moving this conversation forward.
And then you still probably have that core fan base, for the lack of a better word, that still wants to see that other side of it.
I think the discussion is going to deal with more of the responsible disclosure question, which is centuries old, right? Do we drop ODAY? Is that the only way to get someone to move forward? Is that the only way to prioritize them, help them understand how important the bug is? We're going to look for a hybrid responsible disclosure conversation and try to bring both parties to the table and do so in a manner that helps them. The other part of this is, we're not privy to all the conversations the researchers had. We're not a part of the interactions between them and the vendor. And if they need a platform that's going to allow them to share their research in a manner that's going to encourage that conversation to move forward in a manner it needs to, Black Hat's certainly a place to do that. So we see both ends of the spectrum. We're not there to arbitrate or to take sides. Our job is to ensure the cultivation of this community. As far as the core fan base, it's really interesting. Black Hat's a really hard populace to measure.
Mm-hmm.
So many individuals from so many groups. You've got the dark underground researchers that don't operate under their true identities. You've got the government players from non-official cover operatives and three-letter agencies that may not even remember their real first name. It's hard to say who and what the core of Black Hat is. There's a lot of researchers you see returning from year to year because they're doing so much innovative research, have the bandwidth and the organization supporting it. At the same time, I think that the community understands that some of the conversation has shifted.
Just looking at the agenda quickly, from my perspective, I'm noticing a lot of new faces, a lot of new names this year giving talks. Is that intentional, or did you guys see a record number of submissions and the review board? Were they highly impressed with some of the new crop, or what was the philosophy behind that?
Was it in Rounders when Matt Damon dropped the line, why do you see the same faces at the final table of the World Series of Poker every year?
Yeah.
I don't want to say that there is an all-star team, the dream team that gets chosen every year, although, as I mentioned before, a lot of times you do see a lot of the same innovative minds that are doing really great research, that have great funding or great organizational support that help them continue doing that work. with respect to this year and so many very new faces, I think one of the very wise things that was done at Black Hat was founding the review board, ensuring third parties, external eyes, people outside of Black Hat headquarters, outside the aquarium, out there doing the good work, consulting and building and working in the community around the globe, they've got a different perspective with respect to the content they had the opportunity to review this year. I think the security community has seen just explosive growth. I think that there's been amazing uptake in additional opportunities to engage with the world. There's so many devices that are so connected, so many information systems that are becoming more and more accessible to attack, to tinker with, that I think that the volume of researchers getting plugged in, and I think we're going to continue seeing this growth. Mm-hmm. Technology is only getting bigger. I think that the volume of research being done and the volume of vendors trying to specialize and provide solution sets out there are going to continue to grow. I think this is as great a space to get into as it ever was.
Black Hat's obviously clearly about offensive security research, but there's been a lot of noise lately in the industry about focusing more on defensive tactics and defensive technologies. I mean, Microsoft's giving out the Blue Hat Prize at Black Hat this year, which is going to recognize some of the an innovative new defensive technology. Where do you stand on that whole argument on that topic? And where are the merits of one versus the other, or should they be compared that way?
It's a really hard question to answer pragmatically. If we wanted to take a mathematical approach and say, it's definitely tipping one way or another, I think it deals more with the press and the visibility to the conversation. I think that it's great that the vendor community, that the solution provider community so aggressively recruiting feedback from the attackers. We talk about the psychology of selection bias. Those that are intended to be builders are seeking confirmation. They're trying to validate, can I make it work? Can I make it work? Great, I've got it working. Moving on to the next build requirement. Those with the selection bias of the capability of continuing to do something until they get it to break is something, the breaker mentality and the creativity required is a totally different psychological profile. It's kind of that cross-section of people that may be able to be highly technical and yet be very social, a very small populace that can play both. And so I don't know that I can directly answer in a pragmatic way. Are we sliding away from attack research and more towards defense research? I think it's more a function of historically, those that were building products, building services, weren't as focused or interested or even more accountable for defense. And so the attention and the conversation in the defensive space has evolved due to the accountability provided by the researchers. So again, I think that this is just a constructive iteration of the conversation moving forward. Mm-hmm. Is one growing faster than the other? I think one is finally making an attempt to catch up and engage.
We always hear about, in terms of feedback from readers and our audience about Black Hat that, the research is great, but that stuff is kind of 2, 3, 5 years down the road, that they're really not talking about today's problems, what I have to deal with day to day. How much of that figures into session planning, session building, and what you guys want to bring to the audience?
From the perspective of this stuff being, years out, as fast as technology moves, you look at the iteration of some of this research, some of the stuff builds year over year over year. I think some of the stuff is immediately leverageable in terms of being weaponized. Some of the research, we've got some guys talking about, similar to what we saw a couple of years ago, interacting with the cellular networks, mapping devices on cellular networks. It's similar to what we've seen before, but it's a space that we haven't really played with our current iteration of technology.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, it was mostly handsets and a few iPhones. Now we're talking the vast majority of smartphones. We're talking about parts of the power grid or gas systems. We're talking about SCADA infrastructure at sub-gigahertz frequencies. Does that mean some of this stuff can be weaponized immediately and will affect your day-to-day life? Sure, absolutely. Some of the stuff going to be more esoteric, more out of reach, more affecting the future? Sure, absolutely. I think that we try to drive a fine line between covering both pieces. We'll find common threads as we look at all of this content to try to stitch together programs that are going to say, wow, you're interested in enterprise devices, be they BlackBerry systems, be they Microsoft, or perhaps Apple products. We can stitch together an entire track dealing with that. We've got a defensive track. We've got building and breaking. There's so many different ways to do this, and one of the things we did this year was partnered with the review board. I nominated a couple of track chairs to try to stitch together kind of a core fundamental thought as they move through the course of the day to kind of build a common thread to stitch all these things together. So we're going to cover various aspects of these things, be that from attacking various aspects of a platform or a technology stack, all the way through things that are immediately tangible and accessible. I think one of the talks is going to do a live capture the flag in the talk for sub-gigahertz frequency engagements, all the way through esoteric stuff that is very research-driven. I mean, Black Hat has a steep history of being the only academically relevant security research conference out there, and this is something that we're looking to invest heavily in the near future as well, and it takes several years to reestablish that, but that's very core to the identity and ethos of Black Hat.
What can you tell me about the Black Hat arsenal?
I think the hardest part as we look at this, just like with the Black Hat process or the paper selection process, is more a function of there are more and more people capable of building tools and making them accessible. I don't know if you've been on GitHub or any of these other sites. It's really hard to pick out those projects, be they open source or closed, how to partner, become a part of that group, and engage. As far as Arsenal selecting the content, I think we've broken this down into 7 pods running both days. We're going to have a lot of content. I think we've got, where are we going to be running down to? I think 28 to 36 presentations in the Arsenal space. That's a whole lot of tools. That's a whole lot of new technology that's going to be driven by very focused and very acute space relevant research and people in that community. That's part of the magic of Black Hat, is getting those groups together.
All right, so my final question for you, this is your first year in your new role. What piece of advice would you have for a first-time attendee?
Oh my gosh, well, there's the classic, you know, it's almost a joke at this point, but, you know, make sure you learn to harden your device. Shut down your wireless, your Bluetooth, that kind of thing. For the rest of sage wisdom, go preparing to connect. This is one of those rare opportunities where, you know, you spend a lot of time reading on the internet, sharing on mailing lists, but be very open. Be willing to introduce yourself not only by your normal, you know, street name, but use your Twitter handle too. I'm one of the few people that has Trey Ford as my both day-to-day name that my mom and dad gave me, but my Twitter handle. But you're going to meet a lot of people you've interacted with. You're going to tie to a global community that shares your focus, shares your passion. This is the premier event of the year. People save their best research and bring it here to Black Hat. So, you know, keep your eyes open, your ears open, and be excited to connect. This is something very, very special.
All right, Trey, thanks for joining me, and good luck the rest of the way until we get to the show.
Hey, much appreciated. Look forward to connecting with you next month.
Absolutely.
That does it for this edition of Security Wire Weekly. Be sure to check out our previous podcasts by going to our podcast landing page at certsecurity.com/podcast. And as always, you can get the latest security news and information at our news page at certsecurity.com/news. For now, I'm Rob Westervelt. Have a great day.